You and I, if we're being honest, we go through trials. There's some dark valleys. There's some times of testing. There are times of temptation and difficulties. And let me say this to you. Sometimes God allows us to go through the valley in order to prepare us for a future task. Or sometimes in order that we might be stronger now. Or sometimes in order to get our attention.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to the Hope Restored series as we continue through Nehemiah chapter 3. So far, we've seen that rebuilding is a journey, not a sprint. Today, in verses 4 through 14, we continue with the Pilgrim's Progress, part 2. One of the most encouraging things about this passage is that God records the names of ordinary people who simply showed up and did their part. They weren't prophets, they weren't kings, and they weren't famous, but they were faithful. Their names remind us that God notices every act of obedience, every sacrifice, and every contribution made for His glory. Faithfulness in God's work is never overlooked by God. And the greatest reward in serving God is not recognition from people, but it's the approval from God. Today, let's ask, if nobody noticed your service except God, would that be enough for you to keep serving faithfully? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 4 through 14, in part 2 of the Pilgrim's Progress.
God uses certain ministries to save people, and He might use another to help them grow. So the old gate speaks of the timeless truth in the Word of God and a need for believers to be grounded in His Word. Let me just say this to you. We are entering a time in history that we're going to need the Word of God. It's got to be our foundation. We need the Word of God to go to Walmart. Are you kidding me? What do you mean? No, here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. The Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God will help you and teach you how to be a good husband. The Word of God will move in you and convict you and help you how to be a great wife. The Word of God will help us to be a good neighbor and to be, this is God breathed, it's inspired. This is from the Father. This is His love letter to you. Why wouldn't you want to read His love letter? You see, there are times when you and I, and you know this, there are times when you and I read, and we just read, and it's amazing, and you could start, and you're just reading and reading and reading. And other times, there's times where you're studying, and you're doing a word study, and you're digging stuff out, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. This is amazing. And I think about all of these. We need to be grounded in the timeless Word of God. That's the old gate. We need to be walking in the old gate. 1 Peter chapter 1, 24 and 25, listen to this. As the scriptures say, quote, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God remains forever. And the word is good news that was preached to you. Here's the point. Society might change like the changing of the seasons, but like the flower fades, but the word of God remains forever. Forever. Verse 7. In the book of Nehemiah, next to this guy, the Gibeonite, Jadon, the Meronothite, the men of Gideon and Mizpah repaired the residence of the governor of the region beyond the river. Next to him, Uziel, the son of Harahiah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. And they fortified Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Do you guys see that in verse 8? Just so you have a pencil handy, the Broadwell is actually the western part of the wall there in Israel. You can look at that. That's what he means. So they're building it all the way around on the western part. Now, if we'll look at verse 11, this Melchizedek, the son of Harim, and Hashbub, the son of Pahath Moab, repaired another section as well as the Tower of the Ovens. Okay, now, you go, why are you pulling this up? This is important, okay? Because you got to see this guy. This guy right here. Melchizedek, we'll just say that. If you turn back real quick to Ezra chapter 10, if you'll go back one book, look at Ezra chapter 10, guys. Ezra chapter 10 in your Bible, we're going to pick it up in verse 17. You guys know the story. It says, by the first day of the first month, they finished questioning all the men who had taken pagan wives. And among them were the priests who had taken pagan wives, and following were found the sons of Jeshua, the sons of Jozadak, and other brothers. And it talks about these guys right here, verse 19. And they gave their promise that they would put away their wives, and being guilty, they presented a ram as the flock of the trespass offering. You go, why is this important? Okay. You guys know what was happening in the book of Ezra. They've come back to build a foundation, but in the meantime, they stopped building, right? And what happened is they started taking foreign wives. Well, Ezra goes, no, this is, we can't do this. And so they started to inspect these people here with foreign wives right here. And so we find out, look at verse 31 of Ezra chapter 10. The sons of Harim, Eliezer, Ishijah, Melchizedek, Sheremiah, and Shimeon, right there in verse 31. Okay, so here's this guy. He's mentioned right here in verse 31. Okay, you go, why is he mentioned? Because he had a foreign wife, right? Verse 44 says, all these had taken pagan wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. Okay, you go, well, Pastor, okay, you've read all these names. You butchered all these names. What's your point? You ready? I think there's a beautiful principle here. And you go, what's that? This guy right here in Ezra is the same guy that we find in Nehemiah. And he's now what? He's working on the wall. And you go, well, Pastor, what's the point? Here's what I wrote down. Here's a restored wrongdoer, repented, surrendered his life to God, a restored brother who's now helping build the Tower of the Ovens. Do you see the gospel? Here's people who make mistakes that the Lord forgives and uses for the service of his kingdom. And it's the same for us. You realize that the enemy wants to hold you on all of your mistakes. All of your mistakes, he wants to hold you there. He wants to keep you there. He wants to push you down. He wants to bring them up over and over and over. And I would ask you a question right here, church. What do you think we would do with this fellow right here? Oh, wait a minute. You stopped building the temple. You stopped building the foundation of the temple. You stopped. Hey, well, you took a foreign wife. I don't even know if you have kids. Would we bring him back into the fold? Would we restore him? God does. And so it's so pretty because I think of even Saul of Tarsus. You know what Saul of Tarsus did? Well, they're getting ready to stone Stephen. And they're laying down the feet at Paul. And Paul's like, thumbs up, let's go. People were so afraid of Paul, so afraid of Saul, that when he got saved, they're like, no, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Don't let him hear. Mm-mm. He goes, man, I'm going to go join the apostles. And the apostles are like, God can do a work. Listen, if God can do a work in my life, in your life, he can do a work in anybody's life. But that's the work. And I wanted to show you the gospel because here is a restored wrongdoer. And he is working. And you got to watch this. You got to see this. Some of us can get off track from time to time. And the New Testament tells us, you who are spiritual, help a brother up. But be careful, because you don't want him to pull you down. But you who are spiritual, okay. This part of our vision at Calvary, loving people back to life, loving them in a place where they can be serving Jesus, showing victory. This is this guy. Well, it goes on in verse 13, and it says, and Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoa repaired the valley gate. They built it. They hung its doors with its bolts and its bars, and they repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the refuge gates. We come to the fourth gate, guys. If you're taking note, this is the valley gate. And here's what this represents, guys. The valley gate represents, and it speaks of humility before the Lord. The valley gate, humility. You go, why? Think about this. The valley gate was the lowest spot in the city. It speaks of walking in humility with Jesus, but also the valleys we face in this life. Think about this. The valleys that we face are such an amazing part of our walks with God. For you see, after teaching comes the testing. You see how the progression of the gates go? You can write down here, the Valley Gate could equal trials. Trials. Now, I know none of you have a coffee cup in the morning that says, boy, I wish I went through more trials. We don't have a coffee cup going, bah, I can't wait for the next trial. But we have them as believers. We have them. You and I, if we're being honest, we go through trials. There's some dark, dark valleys. There's some times of testing. There are times of temptation and difficulties. And let me say this to you. Sometimes God allows us to go through the valley in order to prepare us for a future task. Or sometimes in order that we might be stronger now. Or sometimes in order to get our attention. I can't think, you know, James is going to tell us here a little bit, but I can't think of a better illustration than my friend Joe. Joe's been kind of going through a valley, a deep, dark valley for a while. Beverly, and they're beloved of our church, and they're here tonight, and I praise God for that. But after teaching comes testing, Joe. And maybe this is to draw you closer to the Lord. Maybe this is, I mean, anything that we go through, I don't want to just go through it and have to repeat it. Any of you test repeaters? I don't want to do it. I want to learn what God wants me to learn. I realize that there's another test coming, and that's okay, but I want to learn. God, what do you have for me? This trial, this trip, this valley gate, I mean, wow. Listen to the way James put it. James said it best. You guys know this. James in chapter 1, 2 and 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I don't know if I ever saw Joe going, woohoo, this is it, and he was dancing in the hotel, in the hospital room. No, but James says you need to count it all joy. And Joe goes, if I ever find James, I'm going to punch him in the nose. That's what I'm going to do. But let's break it down. Let's break it down for just a second, right? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Isn't that, we could all use some patience? I don't ask the Lord for patience anymore. Lord, give me patience. Okay, here comes a trial. No, I said patience. He goes, okay, this is exactly what he says. But it's not that you're excited about the trial and the hospital bed and all the pains you're going through. It's not saying that. It's saying, man, Lord, there's joy because I'm gonna be better. There's joy. One of the hardest things that we have to do is trust the sovereignty of God when we don't understand what's going on. God never said it would be easy, but he said it'll be worth it. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And if you're standing on God's word and you're trusting him and you're giving it to him in prayer, we trust that. We trust that. James, what are you wanting us to learn? He says, family, look at me. Count it all joy when you go through the valley gate. When you're having a hard time, and you will have a hard time, and there will be those things that we don't understand, and there will be the Charlie Kirks, and there will be all of these things that happen, and we don't know why, and we don't know how it's going to be, but I do know that I have hope. I have hope in Jesus, and I know that there's going to be coming a day, and it talks about in Revelation that God says, and John says, I saw a new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth coming down, and the old has passed away, and you and I are not going to remember any of this life. We're going to be with the King forever. So what am I supposed to learn? Well, I know that the trials that we face, guys, the valley gates we go through, they're going to be testing our patience. When it comes to those trials in our lives, let's take some advice from Peter. What does Peter say? 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much precious than the gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you will rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Think about what Peter just said. You ready? Jot this down if you're a note taker. The trials or the valleys, you ready? They reveal if your faith is genuine. You go, what does that mean? They reveal if your faith is real. Is your faith real? What do you mean? Well, let me illustrate it this way, church. What happens if you put plastic in a fire? It burns pretty quick, right? It sort of dissolves. You take a plastic and you put it in there. As a matter of fact, think about this. You can take a piece of plastic, you can shape it into a brick, you can spray paint it gold, and you put it into a fire. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. Why? Because the fire is going to reveal that it's not gold at all, that it's plastic. True faith is like gold when you put it into the fire. What does it do? True gold, it melts and it becomes liquefied. Why? So the goldsmith can mold it and shape it. Another thing that happens to gold when you put it in the fire, you realize that the first thing that happens is when you put gold into the fire, it liquefies, but it all the impurities rise to the surface. And you do, and you take a little thing and then you say, oh, okay, and they scrape off all the yucky stuff. Then they'll turn up the heat again. Guess what the gold does? All the impurities will rise to the top. Isn't that what we're going through right here? See, this is what happens in the valleys when you go through trials. When you go through trials with the proper with the proper perspective, man, all the stuff goes and you just draw closer to Jesus. So you have the sheep gate, it's salvation. You have the fish gate, that's service, being salt and light. The old gate, guys, grounded in God's word, and then you have the valley gate, suffering and trials, which brings us to the next gate. You ready? It's the refuge gate. Look at verse 14. This is not the same guy, but this is the same guy in his same name, okay? Machilja, the son of Rechab, so this is a different guy. He's the leader of the district of Beth Harakrimim, repaired the refuge gate. He built it and hung its doors and its bolts and its bars. Now, here's what you need to know. The refuge gate is actually lower than the valley gate. And it's often referred to as the dung gate. The dung gate. Now, this gate speaks, this is so good. This gate speaks of the necessity for the believer to constantly examine his own life in order to rid himself of unconfessed sin. It's the dung. It's the dung. It's the place where we come and we go, Lord, where am I with you? It's all of these things. Now, we're going to spend a little bit more time next week looking at the refuge gate. But let's close with these with just some takeaways. Let's really just spend some time here, okay? As we close, we have walked through the sheep gate. The sheep gate is the most important gate. And what you need to do is you need to ask yourself, am I saved? Am I really saved? And you go, listen, this isn't one of those things where it's like, okay, well, no. What we really need to do is look, and the most important thing is, are you saved? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? And that's the most important thing. None of the other gates matter if you're not saved. And that's so important. And here's what you've got to ask yourself. If I died tonight, if I happened to die, for some weird way, I've happened to die tonight, would I go to heaven? Would I go to heaven? And if you ever come back and you go, oh, I'm not sure, I've done a lot of stuff, then the Lord is knocking on your heart and he's saying, hey, it's time to walk through the sheep gate. But remember, he doesn't inspect you. He's going to inspect Jesus. And that's why you have to open up your heart and invite him inside. It's the sheep gate. And you go, Pastor Ben, it's Wednesday night. We're all saved, man. Let's go. Well, let me ask you this. Point number two, are we sharing our faith? Listen, if we're going to have the heart of God, God loves people and he wants to see people saved. And our goal is to depopulate hell and populate heaven. And we've got to be sharing the good news. I once was. Are you kidding me? Oh, wow. Jesus, you've done so much. You go, Pastor Ben, time out. I don't know how to share. I don't know how to say all these eloquent words. Just share what God's done in your heart. Listen, I was a mess. Man, I was lost. I was on my way to hell. I was a sinner. And then God reached down and he took me, picked my feet off the miry clay. He's put his spirit in me, began to walk with me and talk with me. All of this. And then I began to share. There's nothing better. Okay, there's one thing better than going to heaven, and that's taking somebody with you. So we need to be sharing. Number three takeaway, guys, make sure no matter what happens in this world, okay, No matter what you see on the internet, no matter what you see on the news, if, don't watch the news, but if you have to watch the news, make sure you're grounded in the Word of God. Make sure you're grounded in the Word of God. We don't even know what's true anymore, do we? We have all of these things coming at us, and we have no idea what is AI and what's not, and what's true and what's not true. And it's so confusing, and we're just like, I don't know. Did you hear? And we talk, and no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stick to this. This is the only thing I know is true. Well, did you hear? No, but I read. Did you read? Yeah. So we should make a commitment, church. We should make a commitment to read the Word of God. Every year in January, we start out with a church project. A church project, everyone reading through the Bible. It's amazing. Because now you get into October and you go, man, I'm almost done. I've read the whole Bible. And if you do that, it's so cool. It's so cool. But not only that, you get to fellowship with others who are reading the same thing. And you go, hey, what did you think of what Isaiah said today? Oh, yeah, I read that. That's pretty neat. So we want to make sure no matter what happens, we're grounded in the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Last but not least, I want you to be prepared for the Valley Gate. The Valley Gate. Well, how do I prepare for sufferings and trials and tribulations? And how do I prepare for these things? Be focused on the Word of God. Build that foundation. Trust that what He's doing. Okay, Lord, this is a valley. This is a valley. I don't like it, Lord. I don't like this, but I'm going to trust You. What do I need to grow from this? How do I need to grow from this? Let's pray and ask God to bless His word. Father, we thank You today for, Lord, just the gates, Lord. I think of the sheep gate and the fish gate, Lord. Lord, I even think of the refuge gate where I have to do a spiritual inventory and find out where am I with You. Father, remind our church, remind those watching online, remind those listening via radio or podcast, however we want to do it. Remind Your people that it has to start with the fish gate and they need to come to You. With every eye closed and every head bowed, is there anyone here that's going, Pastor Ben, would you pray for me? I don't know if I'm in a right relationship with God, but I want to be. I want to just be right with God. If God is speaking to your heart, would you just lift up your hand? Because we want to make sure that you enter into the sheep gate, that your heavenly home is secure. But God never forces His love on you. He wants to walk with you. And He wants a relationship with you. And you don't have to do better, but you have to trust Him with all of your heart, with all of your life, with everything you are. And so I definitely want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today, if you're watching online, if you come across this, all you have to do is just lift up your hand. I can't see you, but I know the Holy Spirit does. If you're in this room and you want Jesus, would you just lift up your hand and say, Pastor Ben, pray for me. Hey, God bless you, brother. I see you over there. Anyone else? Father, we thank You tonight, Lord. Even a little brother right there that would say yes to Him, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is so amazing, Lord. I'm blown away. Lord, we thank You. Pray for this young man, Lord, that he would surrender his life to Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that he's got to start. We all got to start at the sheep gate, and we do that. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In Christ.
Next time on the Hope Restored series, we'll continue through Nehemiah chapter 3 and discover that some people worked right outside their own homes. We'll learn how lasting restoration often begins closest to us before it spreads further out. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. A feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.